God's Word is going to stand, folks.
Amen.
The precious Word of God says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. Think of that. This heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word is never going to pass away. Mm-hmm. And His Word is sharp. The Word of God says it is a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. It's able to cut asunder. It's able to separate. Amen. The bone from the joint. Amen. That's a very close contact between the bone and the joint. But the Bible says that He can also separate the soul from the spirit. Amen. And some people don't even believe there's a difference in the soul and the spirit. But according to God's Word, He's able to separate even the soul from the spirit. That is the breath of life. The spirit is the breath of life, and God's able to separate that, amen, from a person's soul. And we distinguish that as physical death. Amen. But God's Word is wonderful. Amen. And tonight, I want to speak to you God's Word. God's Word, it warns us. God's Word directs us. God's Word, amen, keeps us in the right direction. The Word of God says it's a light unto my feet and it's a lamp, amen, to my path. Think of that. You'll never be walking and stumbling in darkness because the Word of God's going to be a light to your feet and a light to your pathway. Amen. And I think of the Word of God when the Word of God says, search out the old way. Search out the old path. Where lies the good way? Amen. I hunger for that good way. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for a new way.
Amen.
Amen. There's only one way.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Amen. There is no other way to heaven except through the name of Jesus. Amen. We expound upon that and we speak upon that. And people ponder it. Amen. People get many ideas in this world today. We're living in a world today of diversification. We're living in a day that whatever feels good to you, it's okay. There's no such thing as right and wrong. It's all in how you perceive it. That is a life of Satan.
Amen.
Amen. There is truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. There is no other truth. Amen. We can be falsely accused. Amen. Of being prejudicial people. Amen. But we aren't prejudiced against other denominations and we're not prejudiced against other religions. Amen. But because I'm not prejudiced doesn't make them right. Amen. I cannot agree with them. What does light have to do with darkness? Amen. What does God have to do with Satan? Amen. We must obey the Word of God. Amen. We must do what thus saith the Lord if we want to make heaven our home. And now, I want to talk to you tonight. I've titled my message, Not All Prophecies Are of God. We're living in the day and the time, amen, that many will say, thus saith the Lord. And many will say, this is what the Lord says. But according to God's Word, do not believe every prophet.
That's right.
Do not believe every prophecy. In the Old Testament, I'm going to give you a story. In the Old Testament, when King Solomon, the son of King David, the beloved David who was a man after God's own heart, when King David passed away, the kingdom went to King Solomon. And King Solomon, amen, had peace all the years of his reign. He had peace with his enemies. He had riches. He had long life. Amen. And especially God gave him wisdom. Amen. Wisdom to lead the children of God faithfully. Now I'm going to say something to you. We talk about the wisdom of King Solomon. The Bible says that no one before him nor after him had his wisdom. But I'm going to tell you tonight that his wisdom that God gave him was wisdom to lead God's people. But beyond that, amen, Solomon was not wise. Solomon was not wise. It was not wise of him to take wives out of every other nation except Israel when God commanded that he was not to marry outside the Jewish faith.
Amen.
And those wives, 700 wives, 300 concubines, those women, amen, led him astray. He allowed them to bring their own gods from the countries where they came from, and he allowed them to worship their own gods, and he even built places for them to worship their gods. And before Solomon died, he himself knelt down to those false gods. And the Bible says it displeased God tremendously, whom God had personally appeared to Solomon twice in his life. Think of that. God Almighty of the heaven and the earth appeared to King Solomon and spoke to him and talked to him. And yet King Solomon was persuaded in a different direction. But in the Old Testament, when King Solomon died, his son, Rehoboam, became king in his place. But because Solomon sinned against God and worshipped other gods, God punished Solomon at his death by letting his son, Rehoboam, only be king over two tribes of the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. The other 10 kingdoms, amen, the Word of God says, that the other 10 tribes of Israel were given to a man named Jeroboam. And he became king over Israel. Now this is where they become two kingdoms. When God first called Abraham, amen, when he first called Isaac and Jacob, when he named Isaac and when he named Jacob Israel, there was only one nation with 12 tribes. But at this time, because of Solomon's sin, God split the kingdom of Israel, and he only because he loved King David, and only because he promised David there'd always be a king on his throne, only because of that did he allow the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, to be king over Judah. That's where we get, there was a tribe of the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. This is where the split took place. Amen. And this man named Jeroboam, God chose him and God made that man promises. He promised that man, if you'll serve me and live for me and obey me, I'll make you famous. I'll make your name, amen, last. Amen, throughout eternity. Amen. And yet, by the Word of God says that this king Jeroboam, he also sinned against God. Now in your Bibles, in 1 Kings is where we're going to be tonight. Amen. If you'd stand for the Word, I appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus, showing honor to God's Word. In the 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. This man, Jeroboam, had no faith in God. God just now said, I'll make you a great nation. Amen. I'll bless you all the days of your life. Amen. If you'll just obey my word. And the first thing that came into Jeroboam's heart is, amen, I know by the word of God that we're supposed to go to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, which is in Judah, and King Rehoboam was king there. Amen. And Jeroboam said, if I allow the people to go in Jerusalem and to go to the temple and to make sacrifice unto the Lord, they're going to leave me, they're going to depart from me, and they're going to follow after King Rehoboam, and then they'll turn around and kill me. The devil put that in his heart. He lied to him. If this people go up and sacrifice at the house of the Lord, according to the word of God. Whereupon the king, verse 28, he took counsel. Listen to this. And made two gold calves of gold. Where have you heard that before? First thing that the Jews did when they came out of Egypt was in the wilderness. When Moses was on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, they went to the priest Aaron and said, make us gods. And what did they do? He turned around and took their gold, amen, and he made a golden calf, and the Jews began to worship a golden calf. And the thing displeased God. Amen. Amen. And that whole generation died and didn't get to go into the promised land. Amen. Every man who was above the age of 20 did not get to go into the promised land, but was in the wilderness 40 years until they all died. But here King Jeroboam makes two golden calves and says unto them, unto the Jews, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. He's telling the people, the 10 tribes, it's too hard for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods. And he shows them two golden calves. O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Turn around, it's been 500 years or longer since the Jews come up out of Egypt. And here this man turns around and says, "Now these two golden calves I just now made you, they're your gods. They brought you out of Egypt. Bow down and worship them." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. The people hearkened to the king Jeroboam, and they began to worship a false god. And he made houses of the high places, and he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Listen to this. Jeroboam went out and took the lowest people in the community and made them priest unto this false god. Amen. He disobeyed God because God says that of the 12 tribes of Israel, I have chosen the tribe of Levi to be the priests. And only the Levites can make sacrifices unto me in the temple. And yet the first thing this man does, he goes and gets other people that's not of the tribe of Levi, and he sets them up as priests. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, likened to the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. Jeroboam, not being a priest, not being of the Levitical priesthood, he took it upon himself to make a feast like the Jews in Judah had feasts, the Passover, when they sacrificed unto the Lord for the Passover in Egypt. Here he makes up his own feast. He does his own sacrificing upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the month, or the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. This wasn't from God. This man made this up out of his own heart. We've got to be careful about people that make up things out of their own heart. And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar, and he burnt incense. Now this thing is an abomination unto God Almighty. Jeroboam's sin was, instead of letting Israel go up to Jerusalem to worship and make sacrifices to God in his temple, he made two golden calves, and he told Israel to worship these two golden calves as their gods who had brought them up out of Egypt. He also appointed his own priests. Instead of the Levitical priesthood, he appointed his own priest. So, now listen to what happened. So God sent a prophet. Now we're talking about prophets tonight. Prophets of God and false prophets.
What does it say?
Yeah, go ahead. You stay up all night. God forgive me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Amen. Sometimes it's good to have a white backer so you want to sit down there. I just thought you all liked this so well. Just going to stand up and listen to it. I was getting carried away. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to get carried away in the Word of God?
Amen.
This Word of God refreshes us. Amen. This Word of God is life. Amen. We're not just flesh and bone. Amen. Man's not going to live by bread alone. But he's going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So God sent a prophet to rebuke King Jeroboam. And he also commanded the prophet that he was neither to eat or drink or to return the same direction that he had came, but to leave in an opposite direction. So you see, God spoke to a prophet, sent him to King Jeroboam, and he said, "Now after you do what I told you to do, I don't want you to eat there, I don't want you to drink there, I don't want you to even go back home the same way that you came." So God made a commandment to the prophet. And in Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 24, the story says, "And behold, there came a man of God." The prophet's a man of God. "Out of Judah." See where he came from? "By the word of the Lord, and he came unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And the prophet cried against that altar in the word of the Lord, and he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee, upon that altar, shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee, Now, what a pronouncement. Did you hear what he just said? Amen. He spoke to that altar, and he said, there's coming a day that there's going to be a man raised up of David named Josiah, and he's going to kill you, and he's going to burn you on this altar, which you are sacrificing offerings unto false gods. Amen. And he gave unto them a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. That means that this altar of stone is going to split in half, and the ashes of the burnt sacrifices are going to pour out on the ground. That's the announcement that the man of God, the prophet, made to Jeroboam. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he, Jeroboam, put forth his hand, amen, and he from the altar is saying, lay hold on him, the man of God. Lay hold, grab this man of God, take him prisoner, and his hand, which he put forth against the man of God, dried up, shriveled up, so that it could not be pulled back again unto him. Don't put your hand on the man of God. Amen. Don't reach out and lay hand on the man of God.
Right.
Amen. God could cause you to die. Amen. The Word of God goes on to say, and it come to pass, when King, excuse me, verse 5. And the altar, though, I want to get this right. And it came to pass that King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried out and said, lay hold on him. Amen. And his hand dried up. Verse 5. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Amen. And so at that very moment, the prophecy was fulfilled as far as the altar rent at that point. And the king, Jeroboam, answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me. See how a man will change? Amen. Now his hand's shriveled up. Now he knows he's in trouble with the true God. First thing he says is, old man of God, pray for me. Mm-hmm. Just a minute ago, he's going to lay hands on him to kill him. Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God. You notice he didn't say, entreat now the face of the Lord our God or my God. Jeroboam said, pray to your God. And pray for me that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored unto him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, listen to this, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I'll give thee a reward. What did God tell the prophet? Don't eat, don't drink, and don't even go back the same way you came. Now that the prophet is fulfilled, amen, the prophecy that God gave him against King Jeroboam, and now because the Lord restored Jeroboam's hand, now Jeroboam says, come on, go home with me, prophet, and I'll give you a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Why? For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. See, the man of God knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Catch that? He wasn't to eat bread. He wasn't to drink water. He wasn't to turn again, even to go back the same way. So he went another way, obeying God, and returned not by the way that he had came to Bethel. He didn't hearken to King Jeroboam. But listen on. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. Here is another man of God, another prophet of God, an old prophet dwelling in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they also told their father. They, these two sons of this old prophet, saw what had happened and what was spoken by the prophet to King Jeroboam. They went home and told their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that comes from Judah? And the prophet said, I am. Then he said, the old prophet said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. You hear what's happening here? Mm-hmm. Back in the Garden of Eden, Satan appeared unto the woman, and he said, Canst thou not eat of every tree of the garden? And she spoke and said, Yeah, we can eat of every tree of the garden. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, we should not eat thereof, lest we die. What did Satan say? Oh, you won't die. Satan was prophesying to Eve in the garden. Listen to this. This prophet of God says, Then the prophet said, the young man said, I am not returned with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. See, now the prophet of God has come to him. The man of God has come to him. For it is said to me by the word of the Lord. Once again, this young prophet is saying, It is said unto me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou hast came. Then the old prophet looked at the young prophet and said, I'm a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Listen, but he lied unto him. Did you see that? This old prophet followed the young man of God and told him, Come back and eat bread with me. And then told a lie and said, Because an angel told me by the word of the Lord for you to come back. The young man didn't come back when King Jeroboam told him to and asked him to. He said, No, I can't, because the word of the Lord said not to do it. But this man convinces this young prophet. So the young prophet went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, listen to this, that the word of the Lord came unto the old prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept his commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and have eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. The same man of God. Now this is the part I want you to catch. The prophet is not always in the spirit. Sometimes a man of God, a prophet of God, if he is not careful, he will prophesy out of his own heart and not by what thus saith God, even though he's called of God. For whatever reason, this old prophet decided to run down the young man of God and tell him to come back home with him. And he lied to him. Who can you trust? Now, because of what he did, now the Spirit of God truly does come upon the old prophet. And he says, Thus saith the Lord, because you disobeyed the word of God and you have done what God told you not to do, your carcass, that means your dead body, is not going to be buried with your fathers. It was an honor and a privilege for a man to be buried in the cemetery where his people was from. In this case, this young man would have been buried with his forefathers. This would have been an honor unto him. But now, because of his disobedience, the Bible says he's not going to. And it comes to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now, after the dinner, the old man gets the donkey and allows the young man to have the donkey to ride away on. And the word of God says, And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Do not believe every prophet, All prophecies are not of God. The Scripture said, amen, that the old man that dwelt in Bethel, that went after the man of God, and said unto him, I'm a prophet also. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, and that he may eat bread and drink water. But folks, he lied. It's a dangerous thing to disobey God's commands. Giving heed unto a false prophecy can cost you your life, your place of honor with God, even cost you your salvation. This old prophet from Bethel, for whatever reason, he lied to the prophet of God. And yet God later used him to pronounce judgment against God's prophet. Why didn't God pass judgment on the old man that told the lie to the young prophet? God had expressly spoke to that young prophet, do not eat bread, do not drink water, and do not return the same way you've come as long as you're in this place. So you see, we may listen to a person that we think God's speaking through, but listen, we've got to be careful. God's prophecy against King Jeroboam came to pass as the prophet said. But the prophet himself died for his disobedience to the word of God. The young prophet came there and made proclamation against King Jeroboam. God honored his word and the prophecy came to pass. And yet the young man died for disobedience. That young man could go before the Lord and say, but Lord, it was a prophet. It was your man that told me. It's the 1 John chapter 4 in the New Testament. 1 John, towards the end of the Bible. I want you to go and get this. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The Apostle John, he speaks and says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Listen, folks. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. When you come up before someone, amen, try the prophets to see if they be of God. Don't believe every prophecy you hear. And there is a secret mystery to that scripture. Because you can go up to a man and you can speak to that man and he can say he's a prophet, he's a pastor, he's a teacher, he's an evangelist. And you can say to him, do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And he'll lie to you. He'll say, yeah, I believe it. But yet the Word of God says, amen, that hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit. I'm not talking about the man in his flesh, but that spirit that's in that man. Did you catch what I just said? Some way we've got to address the spirit that's in that man. And that spirit, according to the Bible, if it will confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's of God. Because you see, a spirit of the devil is never going to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. But there is the secret. There's the thing we've got to work out. A man will lie to you every time. And you can ask a man, do you believe Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. And he's lying to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somehow we have to address the spirit that's in that person. Because that spirit, according to the Word of God, if we ask that spirit to confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, it can only do it if it's of God. If it's of the devil, it will not do it. Amen. And every spirit that confesses not, verse 3, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Do you hear that? You notice he didn't say every man. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. You want to know about Antichrist spirit? An Antichrist spirit will never confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So you see, the spirit of the Antichrist was in the world 2,000 years ago. You, now listen to this, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He, God, that's in you, than he, Satan, that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Now see, these Antichrist spirits, they will speak unto the world, and the world will hear them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. Catch that? He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Folks, this is a great revelation here. We who are of God, we that know God, amen, the Bible says if we speak to someone, he that knoweth God will hear us. If you speak to someone and they accept, amen, receive what you're saying from God, then that person is of God. And if he is not of God, he's never going to hear us. That's why you can speak to people and you can tell people and they can't comprehend what you're saying. And you're saying it as plain as the nose on your face. It's right here in the Word of God, and yet they'll never see it, they'll never hear it. And that's how we can know the spirit of truth in a person or the spirit of error. There's how we can try the spirits to see if they be of God or not. Because if we speak the truth of God to them, if they're of God, they're going to hear us. If they're not of God, they're not going to hear us. Do not believe every prophecy or prophet. It's a popular thing. Church, we are living in the last days. There shall come many false Christs and many false prophets, saying, thus saith the Lord. But they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are the ministers of Satan. God commands us to try the prophets to see if God spoke through them or not. This is a serious responsibility. To believe just any prophecy because it makes you feel good or feel important can cost you your eternal life. Let's stand. Amen. Amen. I believe tonight that that's a wonderful warning from the Word of God. It takes and shows you a perfect example of a king, a ruler that's disobedient to God, and how the man of God can speak the truth to him, but that man of God is also responsible to obey God's word. And when God tells a prophet or he tells us not to do something, amen, we don't believe when somebody else walks along and says, no, it's okay now, go ahead and do it. Why? Well, I heard from God. I got God just like you do. You're a Christian, I'm a Christian. You hear from God, I hear from God. You better listen to what God said.
Sorry.
Better to be safe than sorry.
No, I'm kidding.
Because the truth is, folks, you can believe a lie and be damned. Have we not said it before?
Yes.
You don't have to tell one to be damned. All you got to do is believe one. And there's many preachers who are not preaching the gospel. They're preaching another gospel. Amen. And they're not of God. And so tonight, I tell you, we live in dangerous times. Amen. We may just be four people here. And we may think, amen, well, who are we in the scheme of that? But your soul is precious to God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died for you. And Satan wants you lost. And Satan wants to destroy you. And Satan knows that you're important. You're important enough that he don't leave you alone. And he won't be satisfied unless he can deceive you and trick you and cost you your soul. And so we've got to be diligent. We've got to try the spirits. And this is a hard thing to do. The Word of God says that in the Holy Ghost there's the gift, amen, of discerning of spirits. It plainly tells you that through the Holy Ghost we can discern if a spirit be of God or if it be of the world. If it be a spirit of truth, there's spirit of error. And don't believe what's coming out of a person's mouth. That's not how you try them. Your spirit. The Bible says that a born-again Christian, that your spirit, amen, will amen, receive from another spirit. I'll know the Spirit of God. I'll witness the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. And I'll tell you, folks, if people can't tear you down, they'll puff you up to heaven to destroy you. If they can't get you discouraged to quit, they will try to make, oh, you're the best guy going. You're really a man of God. Boy, God's really working with you. But they're doing you lip service to try to get you conceited that they can trick you and cost you your life. Amen. So, be quick to hear and slow to speak. God is above, we are beneath. Therefore, let your words be few. And folks, amen. When you're dealing with other people and your spirit don't feel good to you, you don't, when you witness their spirit, there's no connection there. What does light have to do with darkness? Amen. God will protect us if we allow Him to. Did you catch that? Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. We got the Spirit of God in us. So as the days go by, and we hear prophecies, amen, we're going to try those prophets to see if they be of God. And I'll tell you this, there's no prophecy that's going to contradict the Word of God. There's a way to test it. If it's in the Bible, if it goes along with the Scriptures, amen, then we can accept it's God. But if it goes against the Word of God, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven comes preaching any other gospel than the one which we have preached, let him be accursed. There's no man going to come down here, amen, no angel will come down here and tell me that God spoke to him and now he's changed the Bible. That's all we've got to hold on to. Satan would deceive the very elect if it were possible. We've got to stay in the Word.